Good morning, family. Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Pentecost means 50 days, and today is 50 days since Easter. On this day, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon the earliest believers. If you'll recall, last week, Jesus ascended to the Father, but before he left, he told his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for heavenly power. Well, the arrival of that heavenly power happened on Pentecost. The story is found in Acts chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 8 and 11 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard the sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. So we say, thanks be to God. Not only is today the Feast of Pentecost, but today is graduation day at the high school where I work. So congratulations, guys. You did it. Now, over the past month or so, I've had a number of my students express to me their anxiety, their nervousness, their apprehensions about AP tests and final exams, about graduation itself, about college and life beyond high school. When I have one of these conversations with a young student, especially when they're on the verge of a meltdown, I find myself saying things like, "Now take a deep breath," or "Don't forget to breathe." I share this with you because some of you might find yourself doing the same thing, forgetting to breathe, let alone breathing deeply. We go from task to task, don't we? From stress to stress, from activity to activity, from one need to another need, and before we know it, we're out of breath. Life gives us a gut punch. The tentacles of chaos twist around our throat, and we find it hard to breathe. Now, by this point in their journey, the disciples were probably quite breathless themselves. Think about all that had happened in the last 50 days for them. Jesus' goodbye, his arrest and crucifixion, and an event itself accompanied by loud sighs and long wails of grief. But then his surprise resurrection, and then his continued ministry and presence with them. Their shallow, grief-laden breathing must have become full and robust again as Jesus continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. And yet, just as the disciples caught their breath, Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He left. He left their sight and returned to the one from whom he came. It must have been heart-wrenching for the disciples. The wind was knocked out of them. And I bet they sighed loudly with stress and fear as the web of chaos wound around their throats. And so the disciples did what all church people do in times of fear and chaos. They called a meeting. They tried to formulate a game plan. There was so much work to do. They needed to get organized. They needed to choose more apostles to help them with all the work that Jesus left behind for them to do. After all, they were now supposed to tell other people about what God had done in and through Jesus. It was a daunting mission. Loud sighs must have filled the room. They could not believe that they were the ones now in charge of continuing Jesus' ministry to the outcast, to the poor, to the powerful, to the sick, but all of it without his physical presence. It was enough to make them scared and breathless. But before the disciples knew what had happened, out of the blue, they heard something that sounded like a mighty wind heading their way. This mysterious wind blew through the entire house. It filled each of them with a breath that came from somewhere else, from someone else. The wind, God's breath, filled them with a power they did not understand. They did not ask for this gift, this breath, and they certainly didn't expect it. This power, this breath, this courage just blew into the room and filled them up in a way they could have never predicted. And with it, they discovered a reserve of strength they did not know they possessed. They came face to face, lung to lung, with the gift of God's Holy Spirit, God's holy breath. And so what did they do? What would you do? Once the disciples realized they could breathe again, once they shook themselves loose from the stress and the anxiety, once they unwound the grip of chaos from around their throats, they found themselves speaking of God's deeds in their lives. They all burst out speaking languages that they had never learned to speak, telling the story of how they became God's people. They once had no name, no faith, and no future, but now they were God's own sons and daughters, given the breath of faith, glimpsing a future in which they were restored into relationship with God himself. These timid, stressed-out disciples found themselves preaching, testifying to who God was and what God had done in their lives. And the people listened, and the crowd grew. Some people in the crowd just assumed that these Jesus people were drunk. And if we had been there, we might have assumed the same thing, right? The crowd had no other way to explain it. But then Peter explained. And as he stood and preached, I imagine all of these people, people from near and far, strangers and foreigners, young and old, began to breathe deeper. They started to purposefully inhale some of this God breath, this spirit wind, into their own lungs. And the church was breathed and birthed into being. People far and wide in all kinds of languages with all kinds of traditions began to speak of God and how God was at work in their lives and in their world. And the breath of God blew freely and wildly, filling their lungs, giving them courage and a strength they did not know they had. And Christ's body, the church, was knit together, and it began to move. But here's the kicker. While this is a lovely story, a meaningful and powerful story, we simply cannot keep it contained in the past. God's Spirit still works like this. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is at work right here and now. Through scripture and prayers, through music and proclamation, through experience and relationships, God's holy breath challenges us, comforts us, scares us, clarifies things for us. The story of Pentecost tells us that if we're open to breathing it in, if we dare to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we will find our own lungs filled with a courage, a reserve of strength, a passion of faith we did not even know we had. As people of Pentecost, God invites us to experience the fullness of life which God intends with God's holy breath. We're invited to breathe deeply and consciously in every moment of our lives. Breathing, expecting to be filled with God's Spirit, God's holy breath, expecting to be changed by it as it fills our lungs, expecting that we might see things we could never imagine seeing or speak things we did not think we had the courage to say. I've witnessed God's Spirit, God's breath, transform people. And maybe you have your own stories of transformation too. The day of Pentecost affirms for us that God's Spirit, God's breath, is still at work around, among, and in us. It's a breath of life, of courage, and of proclamation that can fill our lungs to overflowing, causing us to sing and to dance, to live and to get through each day. It's a breath we do not want to miss. It's a breath we want to learn, to expect, for which we want to pray. So perhaps you and I will remember to breathe deeply and to remind those that we love to breathe deeply. And then we can watch and feel what happens when we do. So take a deep breath and don't forget to breathe. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lungs, our souls, our lives with your breath of courage and good news. May we be open to your newness. May your Spirit, present from the beginning of beginnings, present in the message of the prophets, present in provision for your people, present in the life and words of Jesus, present in the cross and crucifixion, present in the lives of the apostles, present in the church that you empower, fill us and make us new. Help us to breathe you in each and every day. And as we are filled with your Spirit, give us ears to hear the cries of the oppressed, eyes to see the needs of the poor, and voices to speak for the marginalized. And now, using the words debts and debtors, let us pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As always, thank you. I really do appreciate you joining me here today, and I hope that these words were helpful to you in some way. If they were, will you like, review, and share this episode? If you leave a good review, it will help other people to find and to benefit from these devotional thoughts. By the way, if you have a need or a prayer request, please leave a message in the comments section and be assured that I will be praying for you and your need. Now, this week, your job is to love at least three people and make sure at least one of them doesn't deserve it. Why? Because everyone needs love and everyone needs to know that God loves them no matter what. Remember, with Jesus, we always, always, always have hope. Now receive these words of benediction today. May the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.